You know, one thing I do want to emphasize, I'm so grateful for this scripture verse because it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can't bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. And that is so, so precious about how we can come and endure these trials and testings. And I've been opening up a message, and if everyone could open up their ears and their hearts and really grab hold of what God is doing right now, because we came hungry, huh? How many of us came hungry today? And so let God feed us. I believe that there's a word here for you. I truly believe that you didn't just come here just to come here. I believe that there is a word here that God wants to put in your heart. And you might not see it today, just like that seed is planted in the ground. But I guarantee that there's going to be a point, I'm going to say within this week, that you're going to need this message to get you through where we're going. God has given each one of us a promise. And that promise is really our life. We have no life without a promise. We have no life. I can just imagine if we weren't really in the place where we are to be. Like, I know I could take my years of life and I could say ever since God changed my life, you would think that I was at a place where I had a life because of the supernatural experience that I encountered. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to be honest, I didn't have a life. I didn't have a life until I walked into the promise. I didn't even understand what the promise was. But I realized it was my call. I realized it was me laying everything completely out of the world to come into his promise. And when I say coming out of the world, I believe all of us have a promise and is called to come out of the world, so that your promise can come to pass. Now, what is it to come out of the world? That's the big question. You would think, oh, just leave everything and walk away from everything. No, it's actually cutting yourself loose and cutting yourself free from cares. Literally trying to figure out how everything is going to come to pass and how everything is going to work out. And how is this going to happen? And how's that going to happen? And you are creating yourself a life when God has a life already created for you, and we're off-balanced. We're like living a life that is not really meant for us, even though we're still moving forward into purpose, like myself. I was living a life, so to say, as a call to bring this message and bring this word. But it wasn't like I still had cares. And I was still holding on to cares until I finally cut those cares off and let God move me. We were talking about this earlier. There's a power that's invested in us. And that power is so great and so incredible that it literally creates a life that we really don't understand or know. If we are people who are lost, then that in itself will tell you we don't know what a life is. We have no clue. We create what we think the definition of a life is. But if I can put a definition in a life, I would say you just are so comfort, so comfort. You have such a comfort knowing that everything's going to be okay. You have such a peace that you don't care what's going to happen tomorrow, but you know tomorrow's going to be good. And you have such a joy that you look around and you're just very happy in the moment. Like, I look at every moment of my life right now rather than looking at yesterday or looking at 3 days from now. I'm looking at the moment. So when you can come to that place, that's when you can say you have a life. That's when you can identify and define you have a life. And God has a purpose for us, and I want us to bring us into this purpose. Most of us don't know what our purpose is. Now, if I asked you, what's your purpose? I bet you're going to look at me like a deer in headlights. Huh? What? I don't know. But God has created us for a purpose. And that purpose might just be as simple as raising a family and having just being there, supporting your husband and seeing your children and support your children and just offering them a life. That's what I see in you. And then those hobbies that keep you active and, you know, not in that place of boredom, but in those hobbies, bring a prosperity of supplying those needs that you have that are just slightly short, and you just need that little pick-em-up. And that in itself is a perfect life. I see a perfect life. Not being so concerned about anything greater than what we have, and being content. Because I truly believe God will motivate and move you if he wants more. So if we can come to a place of being content and being patient, we'll be able to watch God manifest the life that he has for us. Instead of being, I called, tormented. In some of these scripture verses that I have, they're called tempted. And I can understand why they're called tempted. You're tempted. You're tempted. Because you're tempted to do something. You're tempted to act upon things in your own understanding. You're tempted to think beyond. When I ask God for my life, take the temptation out of my life. You know how I ask him to take it out of my life? Cut off my head. Cut off my reasoning. Cut off my thoughts. Cut off how is it going to come to pass? How's it all going to work? How's it all going to come together? How am I supposed to do this and how am I supposed to do that? Take my reasoning out, because God has created something that is beyond what we can think. We got helpers. Do you know that God manifests helpers throughout our journey in our lives? He didn't leave us to be alone in his creations. God has given us angels that literally work alongside of us and make and bake, I call it, and create what is to come. It gives us the strength and everything else. I look at God as one who is the supreme being on the throne, and all he does is delegate his glory. You want my presence? Okay. And sends forth thousands of angels to bring us his presence. So it's like they carry the glory. And the glory comes here and the glory comes there. And the glory makes things work. And the glory, you know, just brings things together and manifests it all. I'm going to share some things here that I have. And I actually made a couple of notes, but I wanted to use some scripture verses, because I believe in this book, the Bible, and it's a great book. It's the only book that I have come across that has basically all the truth that I understand and know. And so if those are listening around the world and they're not familiar with the Bible, this is the book that I refer to. I believe it's been written, inspired by revelation. It's a spiritual knowledge that's not given by anyone that can be learned from, but it's given a knowledge from above. It's an awareness. It's awakening of an understanding. And I like to share with it because it just backs up the things that I'm trying to say. Like in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, there's a verse here that says that, and we heard it come by Ken, where he felt as though that he got his ram in the bush. But it says here, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his own begotten son. And I want to just start bringing us to a place of understanding this power, which I call faith, that helps us when he was tested. So let's just take Abraham for a minute. I'm sure Abraham, and some of us know the story, some of us may not, but this man was inspired by God to sacrifice his only begotten son. Now, all of us know that that's really barbaric sounding in the year 2016, and it's really crazy, but this guy was offered to give up something that was very precious in his heart. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is what I was trying to say in the beginning when we have to give up and come out of the world. You know, I think there's a verse that says something about a rich man and how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And it has nothing to do about having money. It has nothing to do about having a lot of things about the rich man. But the rich man had a lot of cares. You know, and we are so caught up and not realizing how much cares we have. A care could be what you look like. A care could be as simple as, you know, your confidence in yourself. A care could be as little as your age. Maybe I'm too old, or maybe I'm too young. And a care could be very, very simple that we overlook. But we got to let these cares go. We have to release them. And that's like releasing yourself out of the world so that you can come into another place. Now, I'm not saying to not be concerned. Yes, you got to wake up and still dress yourself. You still got to take notice of your age and not expect to think that you can get married if you're only 13 years old. Or, you know, you have to take some basic consideration of concerns. But when you dwell on these cares, it robs something. It robs your life. Now we got to bring faith into it. What's faith? Faith is a power that we have that we don't realize we have it. Faith is something that's inside of us that is beyond what we can actually really comprehend or even imagine. It's like God. God doesn't exist. How many of us realize that God doesn't really exist other than us believing that he exists? And then when we believe that he exists, he forms himself and comes into our lives. But the reality is, he does exist. God does exist. I know, I'm a prodigal of him, prodigal of his son, or however you want to word it. I'm a part of who he is because, why? Faith. You see? What he has done in my life brought me to a place of knowing that he exists. And because of that, I'm a part of him. And through faith, I'm here confessing who he is. Can't see him, can you? He's nowhere to be found outside of the manifestation of who he is. And everything that he is inside of you, which is your life. He is you. Isn't that crazy? To say God is you? He is. He's every bit of you. Every breath you take, every moment you awake, everything, it's him in you. And he has a purpose. Now, I'm sure Abraham really didn't want to let go of what he loved. I'm sure he didn't want to release it. And God, because Abraham is also God in him, God didn't want to let him go. God didn't want any part of losing him. So wouldn't you say that Abraham and God both had the same concern? He wanted to see the same thing manifest and come to pass. And so because he was faithful and was tested, he released what? A care. And because he was able to release the care, He went ahead and moved forward. What began to start manifesting? Faith. Faith started to manifest because what did it create? It created provision. You see? It created a provision. Now, how can you not miss a bleeding ram in a bush? I'm sure you hear the rustling, trying to escape. I mean, the thing is like right there. It's not like he had to walk a mile to find the thing. The ram was in the bush right there. I'm sure you were hearing, bah, bah. I'm sure you heard the rustling. But it wasn't there when he walked up there. See, it appeared. He built the altar. Everything was ready. I mean, the whole nine yards was already prepared and ready. And then faith created what wasn't, came into pass. I want to share here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says, and this is something important, it says that you do not become sluggish, but emanate those who through faith and patience inherited the promise. One thing is we have to release cares, okay? Okay. There you go. I'm not going to be concerned how things are going to happen. I'm not going to be concerned what's going to take place. I just know that because this is how I feel, this is how God feels. And this is what I want to bring across to you today. I want you to understand that exactly how you feel is how God feels. And that's his promise. Everything that you want, everything that you desire is the same thing that God wants and desires in your own life. But as soon as we release these cares, we're coming out of the world. And doesn't he say, come out of the world? Doesn't God call us to out of the world and come into his kingdom? Okay, where he'll provide all our needs according to his riches in glory. Okay, now, when we begin to start operating in this area of not being sluggish, okay, how often do we tend to want to quit, give up, walk away? I've heard it from several people that said, you know what, this stinks. We heard it from Rachel in her testimony when she began to start saying, well, is this a sign of God telling me not to go? Wouldn't you think that that's testing? Right away, I say, what was your inspiration in the very beginning? To go or not to go? To build or not to build? To buy or not to buy? You see? To do or not to do? What was your very first inspiration? Well, that's the promise. Now you're going to have all these testings come in that are going to try to test you. Now we take faith and we begin to believe. We begin to hold on to what we first felt in our heart. And we don't divert from it. These testings come. And what do? Tear the imaginations down. Start ripping all these bad negative thoughts. How many of us get negative thoughts in everything that we do? Think about it. It's like the open door, Pandora's box. As soon as you feel like you have an inspiration to do something, to me, in my life, I'm going to be honest with you. It seems like every morning I wake up, within the next hour or two I'm up, all of a sudden I get all these attacks. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Oh, no, this is happening. That's happening. Nothing goes right, does it? Oh, it's going to be a really good day. And all of a sudden, I put the key in the truck, and it don't start. But wait a minute. The truck was just running perfectly fine yesterday. What the heck happened? Things always tend to come in and test us. Why was it tested? Because I had a care. I had a plan, I had an agenda, I had my schedule already prepared and set. I had things laid out. I planned and I did all these right things that I thought was right so that I was ready. So everything will go well. How did I fool myself, right? I believe God is just trying to reveal himself more and more in our lives. And the faster we can just surrender to his will, faster that we can surrender and come out of these cares and be like, more like, oh, well, I guess you just don't want them picked up today. Oh, well, I guess I'm being held up for some reason or another. Oh, well, I guess, you know, and release it. And be patient. Patience is one of the biggest keys that I've been able to understand more and more of how patience endures. Patience begins to allow us to be equipped and strengthened and prepared. There's another verse here that we're leading to, and it says here, you know, that we don't get tired in that promise and hold true to that promise. But it also says in Exodus 23:20, this is where I said how the angels, it says, behold, I send angels before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. If we can really understand how much support we have, think about what robs our promises. I'm all alone. There's no one there to help me. How am I going to do this by myself? I need help. You know that God already knows that we need help. God has already sent us numerous amount of angels to take care of areas in our lives that we are short in. And we don't have to be concerned about who he's going to bring to us. For instance, let's say we need to make X amount of dollars this month. Well, what's the angels doing? They're gathering customers so you can have the best month that you can have for that, you know, month, and your revenues meet every need. You know, all of a sudden your phone's not ringing, and next thing you know, the angels are gathering and enlightening, and look, your name came up with me. I'll just call Don. Angels are allowing us and comforting us. You see? Angels are coming in, and they're all commanded by God. Every one of them are commanded by God. We don't worship angels here. We worship God. Angels are the servants of God. But yet we don't deny the power that God has given to grant us support. And that's wonderful. If we can open up our eyes, there's a scripture verse there that who was it ready to go to war? And he said, Lord, open up their eyes so that they can see the numerous amount of angels that are behind us. And then all of a sudden their eyes were opened up and saw the army of angels that were all behind us supporting that one man, Elijah. And next thing you know, they're all freaked out and they went, and ran. We're not alone. And I think the power that God has given us, if we can realize that we're not alone. You might look around and see in your mind facts. Well, I'm looking at my checkbook and the facts is, how am I going to do this? Well, I'm listening to my truck and it's dying and puttering, and how is it going to happen? How's it going to work? See, what we believe and see is not what God believes and sees. What he believes and sees is what he spoke to our heart from the very beginning. I called you to go. I called you to do it. Now these testings are coming in because I want to see if you really, really trust me. I want to see if you really can put your life in my hands. I want to see if you can really come out of the world and come into the kingdom. What is the first thing that robs our peace and joy? When things aren't going the way you want them to. When things don't work out the way you want them. When you have everything planned and organized and settled up. Right now, they don't work the way you want them. What happens? All of a sudden, our joy and our peace, we come out of that place, that sacred place I call the kingdom. We get taken out of it. And then all of a sudden, boom. We're walking around the desert for 40 more years. I believe it prolongs us from entering into our destiny. We might have to wait another week until we settle down. Or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, or another year. Or maybe 2 more years. Or 5 more years. Because we're not looking at this truth. We're not coming into allowing God to fulfill the purpose and the destiny in our lives. When I said that God doesn't exist and he only comes into existence by our faith, it is so true, because God wants to reveal himself to you. And you can't see him because of the fact that we're not allowing him to manifest his glory. The impossible. I call it the impossible. Like, how do you see God? You tell me, how do you see God if he's not doing great and miraculous things in your life? If he's not making things happen where you're actually being blessed the whole way through? You're not seeing these unhandled things, I call them. We can handle things, but when we can't handle them, then we see God. There's another verse here with the support that we have. I want you to see how we also obtain a righteousness and a power. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, it says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, and obtained promises." See, they obtained them. And I truly believe the more that we can surrender to, I would say, faith, it gives off a power that we subdue kingdoms. How many of us realize that we have another? I spoke a message just last Wednesday about the deceiving spirit. Did anybody get to hear that message yet or not yet? Well, I hope that you do have an opportunity to listen to it, because we are truly deceived by a power and a principality. There's two worlds. One that wants to steal you out of the kingdom, and one wants to bring you into the kingdom. The one has a life for you, and one wants to steal your life. The life in you is really your promises, your hopes, your dreams, your desires, you know, everything that you make up. Now, your makeup may be different than my makeup, but the bottom line is, it's life. And there is a realm that is really trying to steal that from you. And it's called deceiving spirits. They lie to you. They begin to create imaginations, and they begin to start taking and discouraging you, thinking that it's never, ever going to work. Now I'm going to prove to you that they exist. Have we ever came under an attack to the point where our minds made a decision of something we wanted, and then all of a sudden we decided we don't want it anymore? We walked away from it. We gave up. We quit. We said it'll never work. Has anyone ever reached that place? Okay, that's an attack. That right there in itself is an attack. And we surrendered to the attack. We lost the battle. We lost the battle. Now that you know what an attack is, we can stand more stronger in God and allow his power to help us. But it's really neat. It's all through by faith. It's surrendering yourself to say, okay, God, you have established a life for me. And it's what I want. It's my inspirations. It's my unction. It's my desire. It's everything that I wish. That life you established for me. Okay, now we won't get into details as far as how he's going to give it, You know, whether it's going to be yellow or green, you know, let's not care about the colors of it, but let's just be interested in the actual object. How many people understand that one? Okay, good. Because it's important. Because sometimes we lose focus on the details. Like, for instance, how about just a business? You know, you might put all your efforts in one particular business, and you might have thought that that was the promise of God because you wanted to go in business. So you started one thinking that that was, because you entered into your head, you thought that that was the business that you were supposed to be in. But for some reason or another, it failed. How do you know that that was, you walked away completely from business? You see? How many people understand what I'm saying? You completely gave up on business altogether. Well, don't give up on business. You see? It just may not have been the color of the business or the shape of the business. You know, God has put things in us. And I truly believe that those that are listening, whether here or over on the tape or on the net, have given up on promises. And God wants to restore those promises. God wants to give you this life. See, promise is eternal life. Okay? It starts there. And the reason why I say it starts there is because it gives you the identification and the knowledge of who God is for eternity. It like builds a house. You know, you have a foundation, and then you lay the foundation, and then all of a sudden you put up the walls, and then the windows go in, and then next thing you know, you have a place. Okay. Well, we got to start somewhere. And how we start is the promise of your life. And when that promise in your life begins to manifest, you begin to start seeing the glory of God. And then that glory of God leads to an eternal life. So you have a life here that's filled with your promises of do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs, so to say. What am I going to be and how am I going to live and what's going to, you know, function to something that I can identify with. And then from that point, you begin to start having a greater awareness of God and who He is. Then your promise turns into something else. It's no longer the promise of what you accomplished here on earth, but it leads to an eternal life. And that promise leads to an eternal life that is literally after this life. I'm going to show you through Scripture what I mean. I have to be conscious about the time. But it says here, it says in 2 Peter 1 through 1, chapter 1, verse 4, if I can go back to Hebrews 11:33, that verse I read, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness. This is where it begins to lead you into that eternal life that I was talking about. By which have been given us an exceedingly great and precious promise that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. See, you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that lust, I'm going to just, you know, clarify it as cares. Because when you care for something, you kind of lust for it. And it's like, it's mine. It's all mine. I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to keep it. So it says here, by which we have been given an exceeding great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. See, your promises, every desire, every want, everything that you have, and if it's done correctly through faith by giving everything to God and allowing Him to establish those promises in you, it forms a righteousness. I'm going to try to bring a closure to what I'm trying to say. It forms a righteousness because your righteousness is what? Following the word of God that's written on your heart, correct? It's not religion. It's not how good you are. It's all about following the word that's written on your heart so that you endure the promises, you subdue the kingdoms that are trying to come against you, and you beat the battle, you win the good warfare. You overcome. You overcome. Okay? When you overcome, you actually take on a divine nature. This is why I find it so important to encourage those that are listening that are just starting to know who God is, that is just starting to say, I want to know who God is. All right, well, before I even get you to want to even know who God is, in order for me to even tell you who God is, the first thing I need you to do is get into your promises. So that when your promises are established, those promises begin to create God in your life. How many people understand what I'm saying? It's important to understand what I'm saying, because this is a message of not for you to find a career. You know, this is a message for you to find what's inside of you, so that that thing that's inside of you begins to manifest the presence of God, because you're going to have a cry. You're going to be crying out for help. You're going to be looking for help. You can't accomplish the life that is inside of you. You can't. When I get you to start searching for the promise that is inside of you, and you begin to start searching and wanting that promise, you begin to start crying out and asking for help. Okay? Because you can't do it on your own. As you begin to start crying out and asking for help, then you begin to start seeing God. He starts manifesting and bringing individuals in your life. He sends forth the angels to gather all the things that you need so that you can begin to start seeing God. Then as you begin to start seeing God, you start giving him glory. You start to start saying, wow, there must be a God, because look at what he has done. And then as you begin to move forward into this promise and take the truth by faith, you continue to walk in it, it forms a divine nature. So now it's no longer you that is manifesting yourself, because you realize that you couldn't do it on your own. You realize that you needed help. You realize that you failed if you did it on your own. How many people understand? Then it starts leading you to an eternal life, because then you realize that you cast the cares away, and you realize that you can't do nothing on your own, and then you realize that you've given it all to him, and then your faith begins to increase in power, and then you have this trust and knowing that God is going to work it all out. And now it's fully in him. If God doesn't do it through you, how's it going to get done? If God doesn't make it work, how's it going to get done? I see things in people's lives that aren't going to happen if we don't surrender it to him. They're just not going to take place. And some of the attributes that we can contribute is, for one, trust and believe. We didn't miss it. It's not too late. The other one is be patient. It's okay. It'll happen. Everything's okay. And continue to put it in his will, his timing. It'll happen. It'll happen. It'll happen. I believe, and I'm going to start speaking into people's lives right now, because I truly, God is opening up my eyes and seeing some things. And I truly believe that your business is going to prosper. I'm going to share some things with you that is going to happen if you will believe and hold on to this promise. The word I see written on your heart. You're going to own several trucks. They may be 5 or 10. It all depends on what you want. It's almost like the Lord is saying the limit is yours. Whatever you want five, you want 10, it's okay, it's yours. And you're no longer going to drive anymore. That is gone. I know how important your presence is and all this other stuff, but you know what's going to happen? You're going to establish relationships. And the relationships are going to understand the authority. And you're going to take the authority and run the business as if you're driving. And you're going to have men underneath you in images of you. How you like things done and how things are done and how this and that is done. And those relationships are going to see the authority in you and they're going to accept it. And this is what's going to take you to the next level. They're going to actually help you along the way and say, Don, I understand. I need this and that. And you're going to say, I understand. And the only way I can do that is I'm going to need another truck and I'm going to need some more. And they're going to say, Don, get it done. And you're going to end up moving forward. And the whole time you're going to say, Lord, I need help. Take this message, listen to it 101,000 times because your righteousness is going to come through your promise. And in that, you will have a relationship with God that will surpass everyone's understanding. And all the glory will go to Him because you will see how He manifested what you wanted from the very beginning. I know. I see it in my own life. I take your life, and right now, I'm so grateful for where you're at. I don't think there's one.